In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were in a boat, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus lay in the stern of the boat, asleep. The disciples were incredulous, and they prayed the kind of prayer that we don't talk about very much. They prayed a prayer of fear, of exasperation, of abandonment. What's the matter with him? Doesn't he care that the wind and the waves are sinking our boat? Doesn't he care about us? How can he sleep at a time like this? Teacher, they said to him, do you not care that we are perishing? His disciples were in the boat with Jesus. They were right there in his presence, and yet they felt abandoned. The storm was raging. Their storm was raging. And Jesus didn't seem to care. Just over 24 years ago, a dear friend of mine was constantly in my prayers and in the prayers of many others. He was my best friend from our days in seminary, and he continues to be one of the best friends that I've ever had. In a lifetime, there are only a handful of people that any of us encounter that we immediately know will be lifelong friends. If we're lucky, there are those few people that we bond with immediately. And we know that no matter what, that person will be there for us. The person I remember this morning is such a friend to me. He's a person that I love like a brother. However, over the years that preceded my specific prayers of that day, a storm had been silently raging within him. For years, he had been silently wrestling with alcoholism. During our years in seminary, he was able to control his drinking most of the time. There were the occasional weekends of hard drinking that would keep him from class every now and then, but most often he managed to keep it under control. He worked hard, and he drove himself hard. He made excellent grades. Few of us ever suspected that below the surface of this man, who was so generous and so giving of himself, a storm was raging. After seminary, he went to serve as an assistant at a very large congregation. People there knew him as a warm, loving, caring priest who drove himself too hard. But how could they complain? He gave himself almost completely to them and to their care. Okay, sometimes he drank a little too much, but he was such a wonderful priest. However, the intensity of the storm was increasing. The waves were swelling, and the wind was blowing. After 2 years, later he served for 2 years at a troubled parish that just needed someone to love them. And then my friend accepted a call to serve as rector of a very large established parish. And by this time, his storm was raging. He was demanding more and more of himself, and the quiet time that he used to spend with God seemed harder and harder to find. There was just so much to do. Before long, he found that just a few drinks could help him get through the day. And on his day off or evenings at home, he was drinking excessively. But who could blame him? After all, he worked so hard. By now, the storm was bashing him with waves and gale force winds that were causing him to sink. His boat was beginning to swamp. The water was pouring over the bow, and he was perilously close to going under. Didn't Jesus know that he needed help? Didn't Jesus care? Was Jesus asleep? Where was Jesus when he needed him? Teacher, he cried out in his heart, do you not care that I'm perishing? Finally, with the intervention of his bishop, his parish, his family, and those of us who loved him, my friend got help just before his boat disappeared into the deep. He has now been in recovery for just over 24 years. He finally called out to Jesus, and he found that Jesus had heard him. After years of pain and suffering, he finally stopped trying to calm the raging storm by himself and turned control of the storm over to Jesus and to the staff of an excellent alcohol rehab program. And now, at 24 years out of treatment, he continues to do the hard work of recovery, going to meetings, working through the 12-step program, and learning once again to depend on the peace that comes from turning control of his life over to Jesus Christ, one day at a time. In our gospel lesson this morning, all the disciples had to do was call upon him, and Jesus awakened, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And as soon as he said this, the wind stopped blowing and the waves stopped crashing. All they ever really needed to do was to call on him. All they needed was to turn their problem over to Jesus. Each of us have storms that rage within us from time to time. We all have times when it seems that Jesus must be sleeping, or that he just doesn't care. But Jesus does care. Jesus loves you, and he cares about your storms. It isn't Jesus who has become too busy to seek us out on a daily basis. Instead, we fail to turn to him. We fail to call out, asking him to calm our storms. Over and over again, we try to handle everything ourselves. I don't want you to think that I'm preaching a simplistic message that all you have to do is call on Jesus and all your problems will immediately go away. Some may interpret it that way, but the human psyche and the depth of problems that each of us must face are far more complex than that. What I am suggesting, however, is that we begin to form the habit of calling on God in Christ for guidance and strength in all of our daily struggles. Instead of giving in to the forces within us that drag us down and defeat us, we must allow ourselves to be calmed by his life-giving spirit. Even when the storms that beset us are large and ominous, if we trust the Spirit moving in us, we are empowered to seek the professional help that we may need, or the advice and counsel of others who can see our problems a little bit more objectively. The storms may not cease immediately. It may take quite some time and a lot of hard work for the wind and the waves to begin to subside. But Jesus will be present with us. He will empower us. Jesus has promised us that. In our passage this morning from 1 Samuel, David volunteers to go and fight the giant Goliath. He goes in faith with the knowledge that God will empower and protect him. He goes into battle with nothing more than his faith and a slingshot. Goliath mocked him because he was just a boy, but David said to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand." And David took out a stone, slung it towards the giant, and overcame him. What are the giants in your life that you need to slay? What do you need to overcome that seems larger than you can possibly handle? God never leaves us to fight our battles alone. The struggles may at times be long. With faith, we will have the weapons necessary to defeat the giants that assail us. Each of us have storms that ravage our lives from time to time. None of us are immune to the winds and the waves that toss us about. But when we cry out in our fear and form the daily habit of attempting to know and depend on Christ Jesus, we are made stronger against the storm. When the storms and the seas that form our lives begin to get turbulent, as they most certainly will, we may call on Jesus Christ. He will stand with us and say, "I'm here." And he will rebuke the wind and say to the sea, "Peace, be still." Amen.